It's my joy, brothers and sisters, to be with you on this evening to celebrate the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is the patronal feast of the United States of America. So if you go to Washington, D.C., the National Basilica Shrine Cathedral there is named after the Immaculate Conception for this very reason. And so we celebrate especially with great joy in the whole church, but particularly in the United States, this solemnity with great thanksgiving in our hearts and great joy. And so I want to call to your attention this theological principle that we believe and have and hold in our Catholic faith that we call typology. And typology says that everything that's in the Old Testament represents, foreshadows, reveals what's going to come in the New Testament. That Jesus is the new Adam. That Mary is the new Eve. And that those promises made for those centuries have come to fulfillment. And that you and I are to be mindful of that. That's why we hear from the book of Genesis in that first reading. That you and I need to be mindful of what happened. That Adam and Eve chose to not trust God. That they chose to trust themselves more. That they allowed themselves to give into the temptation to not really believe in what God said to them. That Satan tempted them, but yes, they gave into it by their own free will. And because of that, of course, sin came into the world. And they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And so God doesn't want us to forget that happened. But the Lord also doesn't want us to forget that we would not have Jesus in the flesh in the way that it happened if that had not happened. It's quite amazing, the providence of God. And so what does he do? He not only saves us from our sins, but he does it in this most amazing and intimate of ways. He brings his Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the only begotten Son of God, into the world as a human being like you and me. And he becomes the new Adam. And he did it in a very amazing and ordinary way all at the same time. Because that's who God is, amazing and incredible, but reaches us where you and I are at in a way that you and I can receive. That's difficult for you and I to relate to a king that's unapproachable. So Jesus becomes approachable. Jesus becomes like you and me. And how does he come into the world? He comes into the world through his mother, like you and I came to the world through our mother and father. And of course, a unique and amazing way, the Holy Spirit's the spouse of the Blessed Mother. We celebrate tonight the Immaculate Conception, not of Jesus, but of Mary. Even though we heard in the Gospel the Immaculate Conception of Jesus, what we call the Annunciation, because they're intimately connected, of course. It goes back to that typology. Jesus as the new Adam and Mary as the new Eve. Just as Adam and Eve needed to come into the world together in the beginning in Genesis, and Eve came from Adam's side. So the Jesus comes into the world with Eve, with Mary, and Mary, Jesus comes in and through the Blessed Mother. There's a connection there, there's typology there, there's a richness there, there's a depth there that's unquenchable. And Jesus chose, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus chose the Blessed Mother to be that instrument, that vessel to which Jesus was going to come into the world. Mary did not know that she was conceived without original sin when she was conceived and was in the world growing up. The first time she heard anything about that was in this gospel when she was a young teenager. That was the first time when the angel came to her and said, "Hail, full of grace, with no sin, original or otherwise." And Mary pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel says, "Be not afraid," because he knows, and Mary knows from the tradition, that anytime an angel comes, it means that you're going to be asked to do something incredible, something big, something challenging, something life-changing. Anytime an angel appears to someone, that is the case. And now an angel is appearing to me, the Blessed Mother is thinking, and he is here and he's coming, and it's for no small purpose. "Be not afraid," the angel says. "I bring you great joy. You are to be the mother of the Son of God. You are to be the vessel to which every person receives salvation through. God could have saved us from our sins in any way that he wanted, but he chose to become a human being, a little baby like you and I, we celebrate in Christmas, and we're preparing for in this Advent season, so that you and I could connect with him, relate to him, be intimately involved in him, in our heart, and us in his heart. That's how much God loves us. And Mary did not choose that for herself. God chose her for that role. And when the angel asked if she would be the mother of God, that was a sincere question. That was not a play on words. That was not, well, I really want you to do it, but this isn't a real question. There's a real question there. And Mary had complete freedom to say yes or no. But she trusted in that moment that if God was asking her to do this, that he would provide every grace that she needs to fulfill this mission, this role. She didn't have all the answers. She was human like you and I. Sometimes we think of Mary in this superhuman type of way. And she was a human being like you and I, yes, without sin, of course. But she struggled like you and I did, not knowing everything, not having the whole map of life laid out before us. She didn't have that either. All she knew is what the angel said to her in that moment. And a question of clarification, and then, let it be done to me as you have said. And she said yes, even though she didn't have all the answers. But she trusted in God that much. God had never let her down. Why would he start now? So I want to say yes. Then the angel says to her, God has also done this other miracle for your cousin Elizabeth. And she goes and sees her, and it's confirmed that for sure this is God's will in this way. You and I celebrate that the Blessed Mother was conceived without original sin so that she could be the perfect vessel for the Son of God and come into the world. We use this word fitting in the church. It's fitting that Mary would be without sin to bring the Son of God who is without sin into the world. It just makes sense. It'd be fitting that Jesus and Mary are so intimately connected as Adam and Eve are so intimately connected, as Mary and Jesus are the new Adam, the new Eve. Adam and Eve said no to God. Jesus and Mary said yes. Jesus suffered and died on the cross that you and I could have eternal life. And Mary surrendered to that will and allowed her son to be crucified with great trust and humility. Watched her son die in that way. Adam and Eve were not ready to sacrifice in that way, or afraid to, or whatever. But Jesus and Mary showed the opposite of that. And you and I are called to imitate that example, to realize that we are human and that we do make mistakes and we do sin against God and that we do need to ask for forgiveness for those sins. And God gives you and I, Holy Mother Church, to take refuge in the sacrament of reconciliation, in the Holy Eucharist, that is our mother. And that we would not be the same, of course, if Mary had not said yes in that way. God would have found another way, of course, but he chose Mary to be that instrument to say yes. And you and I have her as our mother as well. Jesus gave her to us at the foot of the cross through St. John. You and I are asked to take refuge in her immaculate heart, that she sits second to God himself in heaven, praying for us because she wants us to be in heaven with God as she is. And she's there whispering into the ear of her son our prayers, our intentions. And we give thanks that she had the courage to say yes with a generous heart. The way I ask every day to be mindful of that, because it's a daily yes to God. It's not a one-time for all yes. It's a daily yes to follow him. It's a daily yes to be his disciple. Mary's yes wasn't just a one-time for all. It was a daily yes. I will be the mother of God and I will take care of him. It's a daily yes. And she loves us in that same loving type of way, that yes. The way I do that is I pray the Angelus Prayer every day. I've preached about this a few times now. I pray the Angelus Prayer every day. The Angelus Prayer is an ancient prayer in the church that commemorates this exact gospel, the Annunciation. The angel Gabriel came to Mary. And I traditionally pray at 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m., but you can pray at any time. And before I pray that, those three times a day, I pray, Blessed Mother, help me to say yes to the Father's will in the way that you said yes. And I say, Lord Jesus, help me to say yes to the Father's will in the way that you said yes. How did Mary say yes? Let it be done to me as you have said. I trust in you, no matter what. No matter what suffering is there, no matter what confusion is there, No matter what challenges there, I trust in you. You will take care of me. You will show me the way. How did Jesus say, yes, let this cup pass away from me, but not my will, but your will be done. I trust in you. I believe in you. You will provide everything that I need. You and I are called to have that same faith. And during this Advent season, we're called to go deeper in that faith and ask him to reveal that even more deeper to us. And any wounds that may be there, any healing that needs to happen. And this solemnity is placed within the Advent season purposefully. Because you cannot separate the Immaculate Conception from the Nativity of Christ. They're intimately connected. Jesus is the new Adam. Mary is the new Eve. Let us rejoice in the gift of this blessing to us and our faith. And to say to Mary and Jesus, help me to say yes to the Father's will in the way you said yes, in the way you're calling me to follow you daily and in my vocation and who I am, to be your instrument in this world in the way you've called me to, like Mary said yes. That is the good news of the gospel, my brothers and sisters.